Life Audio.
Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, we have a treat for everyone. We have a special guest. He has a weekly TV show called Creation in the 21st Century, which airs to millions of people globally.
And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
He also has a weekly column. He writes for a weekly column on science and the Bible, and is the author of the books Wonders Without Number and Bible Knows Best. Let us welcome our guest, Brother David Reeves. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
That is it, David Reeves.
All right, I got it right. Okay, so I want to first thank you for coming to Sound Reasoning Radio Show. We just want our listeners to be edified, especially as it relates to science and faith. So my first question for you, Brother David, is how did you get into the scientific disciplines?
You know, when I was about 8 years old, I had my family had just moved to Middle Tennessee, about an hour from Nashville. And I remembered I was poking around in my backyard, and I started to come across these rocks that were a little peculiar, and I said, well, this is not a rock. This is some type of a fossil. So I went to the local bookstore and bought a fossil identification guide for kids and started to flip through it, and I was like, what do we have here? Well, it turns out that what I was holding in my hand was called a crinoid, and that is this deep-sea creature that lives at the bottom of the oceans. And again, I'm in Middle Tennessee. I'm kind of looking around, and I said, you know what? I'm nowhere near the ocean right now. So I kept searching, and I came across another peculiar-looking rock. Well, it turned out to be fossilized coral, again, usually found with an abundance of water. I kept looking, came across bivalves, seashells, fossilized imprints of all sorts of different creatures, and predominantly, these were marine objects. And, you know, I had to ask myself, well, where did they come from? They must have been, you know, somehow buried underneath lots of sediment with a lot of water. And it was at that moment that, even though I had been a, a Christian for a few years at that point, it was a pivotal moment for me because I said, well, this must be evidence that the Bible is true, that there really was a lot of water over the face of the earth. So I started to stick these things in a fishing tackle box, and pretty soon I'd filled up the tackle box.
Oh, my goodness.
And I convinced my parents to let me borrow a big tough box that goes in the back of a pickup truck, you know, and and scotch taped a sign to the front of that that said Reeves Fossil Museum. And at about 9 years old, I am dragging all of my friends over to this box, and I opened it up, and I'm like, you've got to come see this. It's proof that the Bible is true. God is real, and I'm showing them these fossils. That was my introduction to science, was picking up fossils.
Oh, man, what a good story. I can just imagine just being so small and being inquisitive about yep. your surroundings. And God was just, I guess, grooming you for where he wanted you to go. So tell us about your ministries now and why you do the things you do.
Absolutely. Well, if we were to fast forward a few years, I started to produce video content and I started to host television shows and documentaries and things like that, all talking about God's creation and basically relating the world around us and science in general back to a Christian perspective. Mm. So at 18 years old, I formed a nonprofit and I began speaking in churches and conferences, anywhere that would invite me, about science and the Bible, primarily about how the heavens declare the glory of God, the beauty and complexity of space, issues like that, and then relating it back to a Christian walk. But that turned into a television program for many, many years on extremely large networks. I had the opportunity to be featured on a History Channel documentary where I'm hanging Excellent. Off of the cliffs at Qumran and so much more. And that's led to, today our ministry has grown to the point where we're the largest origins-related science media ministry in the world. And now we just opened in the Nashville region over 100,000 square feet.
Praise God.
It's actually a massive science museum, all to God's glory.
Praise God. One of these days I'll have to come over there to your region and check it out.
I cannot wait to have you.
I enjoy reading about it. And actually, I thank you for coming on because your segment is really exposure to our listeners about the relationship between faith and science, because we have those around us who believe that those two disciplines do not overlap at all. And so can you kind of touch on the absurdity of that?
Absolutely. So a lot of people throughout history have believed that. In fact, Dr. Wernher von Braun, who sent men to the moon, he was this brilliant rocket scientist, basically one of the leaders of NASA before NASA became an official institution. But he's running a government program, and he's seeing all of this, he's seeing space, he's seeing the universe, and working on sending men into space to see it much more closely. And he said, a lot of people look at science and religion as antagonists. He said, they're not. They're sisters. While science tries to better understand creation, that would be the world around us, religion tries to better understand the creator. Hmm. And what Dr. Wernher von Braun was saying there is so profound. I mean, he's basically running a government institution, but he's unashamedly saying that you can't have creation without a creator. You can't have the natural world without around us without the designer of the natural world. So the two go hand in hand, but we've been spoon-fed this narrative that somehow they're incompatible.
Right.
And mainly this all comes down to the idea that that science has shown us that we don't need God.
Right.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. Science doesn't lie. Science deals with the raw data, the facts around us. But scientists do lie, and they have taken that data and they have stretched it and manipulated it to try to convince us that, oh, we don't need God.
Right. So it's really not objective science, but subjective science.
That is so correct. But really, if science is being applied correctly, it should be something that is observable, repeatable,
right.
demonstrable,
right.
something that you can test or prove. And the truth of the matter is a lot of the things being taught in our science textbooks, including our biology textbooks, are things that can't be proven, things that say, oh, well, over long periods of time, we turned from fish to bird to ape to now here we are able to philosophize about our existence. You know, it's things that are theoretical that are being taught as science today instead of the real factual data.
Thank you for saying that. It took a while during my early days as a Christian to discover that this theory that a lot of people in the world are purporting in terms of us deriving or coming from apes, that they didn't have any transitional fossils. Can you touch on that?
Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, in the Wonder Center and Science Museum, we have exhibits dedicated to anthropology, the study of mankind. Mm-hmm. And we actually have representations of Lucy. Lucy is supposed to be this ape-like creature turning into a human, beginning to walk upright. It's supposed to be proof of transitional fossils of ape-like creatures turning into man. And she's been in textbooks for 40 years. People have been studying her, using her as this transitional species or transitional form, when in reality, she's an ape that fell 40 feet out of a tree. She's about 3.5 feet tall. She's probably 65 pounds. She clearly had an ape-like skull. She had what appears to be a slanted face, similar to a chimpanzee. The area of her spine that connected to her skull indicates that she actually walked on four legs and not upright.
Right.
And she's one of the best proofs. Even her scientific name, Australopithecus afarensis, it means southern ape. So we're dealing with nothing more than a very small chimpanzee-like creature that fell out of a tree, and she's supposed to be proof that we came from ape-like ancestors. Well, the truth of the matter is you could go through every single major find of the last, 50 to 100 years when it comes to transitional species, whether it's Piltdown Man or Lucy or Ardipithecus or the Neanderthals or whatever it may be, and every single one of those either clearly falls as a member of the ape family or as a human or as a complete hoax, because there have been a number of those. The truth of the matter is there are no transitional forms.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for articulating that. My next question has to deal with your experience. Based on your exposure, your knowledge, and experience of being in the scientific realm, what are, and you can just give me one or two if you wish, but what are some of the strongest arguments for God's existence?
Oh, yeah. Well, Perseus, that's a great question because it's you could almost pick anything within the natural world, but one of my favorites has to be the cosmos. It has to be space.
Right.
When we study astronomy, if we look at it from a biblical perspective, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. But if you look at it from a scientific perspective, what we find is that we live in a vast universe, too large for us to fathom, and yet there are some astounding characteristics and features in our solar system and in our galaxy that enables Earth to survive in a universe that is really, really hostile to life. And I'll maybe point out one or two. If we were to look at our galaxy alone, the Milky Way, it's this spiral-shaped galaxy, and we live in between the Sagittarius and Perseus arms in a really nice nestled area of our galaxy. If we lived close to the center, there is what appears to be a supermassive black hole in the center, which means that not even light can escape the gravitational pull of this massive black hole. Mm-hmm. So I certainly wouldn't want to live there, and I don't think any of your listeners would either. If we go to the edge of our galaxy, what we find is that there are elemental deficiencies. There aren't a lot of heavy elements like the things that make up the room that I'm sitting in, the studio equipment that you're recording on, the things that make up the human body. Those things don't exist on the outer edges of our galaxy, so I certainly wouldn't want to live there. And yet, we don't. We live in an area that is nestled in the kind of in between two arms, an area that doesn't have a lot of threat of supernovae or exploding stars, an area that has the perfect elemental compositions. Are we saying that all these things are mere coincidences, or are we thinking that perhaps there is a designer, an engineer, that specifically chose this spot for us to live in, knowing that it would fit us and suit us best? And frankly, it's just so overwhelming that it could all be coincidence. It appears perfectly designed.
Doesn't it? And what you're talking about is God, the intelligent designer.
And that's right.
And we have an annual apologetics boot camp that we call it, where our students, sixth grade and above, they come and we expose them to this type of information. So what you're talking about is really just a reaffirmation of what the boot camp is about. And for those of you listening, the boot camp this year is April 27th here in Sacramento. And you can go to abcsac.org to register. We'll love to have you. So, Brother Dave, my next question is, in terms of the Wonders Center and Science Museum, you touched on it, but please share with our listeners briefly what they would expect to gain when they get there.
Yeah, so it's great for singles, couples, families, teens, and children. As you walk into the Wonders Center and Science Museum, you're greeted with a 55-foot-long, long-necked dinosaur skeleton stretching its neck up into the second story. You'll get your tickets, and then you might jump over to Java Man Cafe for a coffee or a snack, where you're going to learn about the true origin of humans. And then you'll begin your journey through the museum, where you might enter in the wonders of astronomy, and children would be able to touch an actual meteorite that fell from space.
Awesome.
You may wander in the wonders of zoology and look at some of the live animals and the design of the gecko's foot. You may wander into the wonders of human anatomy, where you can play games that talk about our nervous system and test your skills in different hands-on activities. Mm. Kids love the dinosaur dig pit, where they can dig through sand and find dinosaurs. Teens absolutely love the Tesla experience, where multiple times per day we fire off dual 1 million volt Tesla coils that produce artificial lightning and play music with that lightning. Mm. And then we've got a world-class planetarium that over 4,300 planetariums around the world. We rank in the top 10 when it comes to size and technology.
Excellent.
So they're fully interactive movies and flying through deep space. Basically, you could spend a full day there. Some people spend many days and still never see it all. It's over 100,000 square feet.
My goodness. How excited. I enjoy just hearing about it. So for those parents or younger children that may be listening, I have to ask you this because it's so obvious. What are we to say about dinosaurs in the Bible?
Yes. So we can learn a lot about dinosaurs and how they relate with biblical history. In fact, I lead a dinosaur dig every year, and I will teach children how to dig up the bones of these giant creatures and also how to interpret them. I lead an African photo safari, family photo safari to South Africa, where I teach about the design of different creatures that are alive today and then relate that back to animals that may be extinct today, animals like dinosaurs. But we shouldn't be ashamed to tackle the topic because we find their bones all of the time.
Right.
And what we found is that many times their bones hold clues as to their origins. For instance, the dinosaurs that we find today, most of the bones are so well preserved that they must have been buried very quickly in a catastrophic event. I believe that it was probably the global flood of Noah's day. But the fossils must have been buried very quickly in order for them to become fossilized in the first place. And then inside T-Rex bones, we're finding soft, stretchy blood vessels. In the backbones of hadrosaurs, we're finding intact DNA. We're finding collagen still existing in Areops, which were basically gigantic salamanders the sizes of like an alligator or a crocodile. We're finding all of these things in the fossil record that shows that dinosaurs are just part of biblical history. They're perfectly clear when we actually interpret it based on the chronology that we find in the Bible.
Now, are there Bible texts that may allude to the existence of dinosaurs?
Yes, there are several Bible texts. One in particular is found in the book of Job, and it talks about a creature called Behemoth. And for many, many years, Behemoth was reckoned to be some type of maybe an elephant, because it talks about a creature that is the chief among all beasts. It's a massive creature of some sort that eats grass. It says it eats grass like an ox or a cow. It says it has a massive strength in its belly, that its bones are like bars of iron. So it must have been very large. So a lot of people said maybe it's an elephant. But one of the characteristics of Behemoth says it moves its tail like a cedar tree. And so there are two ways to look at this. Number one, you can say that perhaps the Bible was just incorrect about that specific verse. Well, if we believe the Bible is what it says it is, we know that it's not going to be incorrect in any way. It's going to be true from the beginning to end. And yet, up until a couple of hundred years ago, we hadn't found any creature that had a tail that could be moved like a cedar tree. But in Argentina, in Utah, in Montana, in China, all over the earth within the past few hundred years, we've been digging up massive creatures, some of them 100 feet long, that had a giant tail. We're talking about sauropod dinosaurs, a giant tail that could be swung just like a cedar tree. And so my advice is, when we read something in the scriptures that maybe it doesn't make sense, or maybe we say, yeah, well, we've got to try to reinterpret this verse to fit with modern day science. No. Here's what I'm telling you, Percy, is we should be saying, what we don't know is we don't know yet.
Right.
And all we have to do is wait for science to catch up, because eventually everything that is mentioned in the scriptures, we will eventually see that it's true. Science will eventually vindicate everything that was written in the Bible. And so there's no need for us to be ashamed. We have to boldly stand and say, well, in hundreds of areas, the Bible has proven to be true. It's proven to be true historically, scientifically, prophetically, when it comes to the gospel message itself. So why would we compromise and try to say, well, we have to reinterpret this portion? No, instead, let's stand boldly and wait for science to catch up.
Amen. Amen. This was so fun that we've come to the end of the show. It went by so quickly. But we appreciate everything that you're doing for the Lord within the field of sciences. We need you, and we need people, Christians more like you, that are standing up for Jesus within that discipline. Because you're right. God is the truth, and everything else that goes against it has to be false. So, again, Amen. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm praying for you and your ministry, and I pray that we are able to connect soon so I can check out the Wonders Museum.
Well, please do. I'd love to have you out. Sign up for our free magazines and make sure that you're getting our email updates. We would love to have you out.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
You too.
And for those of you listening, that was Brother David Reeves from the Wonders and Science Museum. He is a Christian, and he's a scientist, and he knows what he's talking about. And so just like I said before in the show, if you are in the Northern California region on April 27th, we invite you to come to the Apologetics Boot Camp April 27th at St. Paul Church. And you can register at www.abcsac.org. As we always say, please do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember...
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.